Happy birthday, Rog. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's 50. Not far off it. Yeah, I do feel old tomorrow.
Yeah, you have to talk to us.
That's a pleasure. I don't mind that. That's good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Well, it is very much that time of year where the rugby keeps on coming. So we are going to slingshot from the Six Nations men straight into the Six Nations women's without skipping a beat. No gap weekend. It is full on. To check in with the Irish camp ahead of kickoff, we're delighted to say that Dorothy Wall has made some time for us. Dorothy has been named as one of Aer Lingus's newest ambassadors, Aer Lingus being the proud official airline partner of the RFU. They will continue to support the Irish team throughout the upcoming Six Nations campaign. So, Dorothy, great to talk to you. You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to chatting.
So the rumour is you're getting first class flights for life. Is that true?
I don't know. I'll send you over my contract. You can have a look.
Yeah. Just well, I think New York, LA, those kind of spots, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. If you want to say that there, Lingus, I'll go with it. No problem.
Okay, deal. So look, exciting time of year. Can we chart your career for just a moment? Because...
Sure.
I mean, you're still so young, still only 23 and 23 caps, and yet a lot's happened in your career. I think it's fair to say, been an eventful couple of years. I hadn't realised, called into the Irish team at 19, I hadn't realised you only started playing rugby in transition year. So that's moving up the ladder pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was 16. I would have played a lot of basketball and some football as well. Now, I was not a very good footballer, and I rode horses. I was in the Tipperary Pony Club, so we did a wide variety of things. I suppose a very big rugby family, and Polly Murphy in Feathered Rugby Club, she recently picked up an award from the RFU, which is well deserved, but she got me into it, and she does great work with the underage system in Feathered, and I went from there to months underage, to Ireland underage sevens, to senior sevens, Munster overage and Munster senior even, and then Ireland.
Not least in your position, but I would think every position, but playing in the back row, the intricacies of the breakdown, I mean, trying to do it legally, trying to know when to poach, when not to poach, where to be, body positions. Like, it's a very technical sport. Extraordinary to go from starting at 16 to playing international rugby 4 years later. Where were you on that front of like the nous of the sport, as opposed to girls who've been playing from 5 years of age and have just, you know, their 100,000 hours in the bank?
I suppose it wasn't really something that I thought about back then, but I definitely have, I can reflect more now that I was very raw 4 years ago when I was 20. And, you know, if I look back at games, I might have thought certain things back then, but now I suppose I have a wider scope to go back and look and be like, actually, that wasn't that great. Or, you know, where I have more appreciation for shape and for probably the game in itself. So I've learned a lot, and I suppose that comes with experience as well. And I definitely don't know everything now, so I wonder what I'll think looking back at when I was 23 as well. It's all a learning curve, I guess.
And is the bulk of that work, Dorothy, done just by playing matches, or can you learn a lot with one-on-one sessions with people or video work?
Oh yeah, analysis is huge, obviously, because you may feel a certain thing on the picture, may have thought you saw a certain picture, but you know, hindsight's a great thing. You can look back and realize actually that wasn't a great call, or that was on, or maybe this would have been the right decision considering the circumstances. So yeah, it's a great, you can learn so much in rugby, and I think the more I've learned, the more I realize I have to learn, because there's just so much dimension to it. But you know, one-on-ones with coaches and learning from people everywhere, you know, who play, you know, men's, women's coaching, like learning a lot from Scott, our current head coach, and what he's bringing in terms of expanding what we know about the game is huge. And I definitely have more respect for what a good kick gets you, and that kind of, and the backfield, and that kind of side of the game that I probably wouldn't have had to tune into as much playing in the pack before. But yeah, it's definitely a more well-rounded education for me the last 2 years.
All that said, you made an extraordinary impact when you like really burst on the scene. I remember watching a couple of those games. Again, it was awful COVID time, and there weren't many people in the stadium. And we should say you were the Irish Players Player of the Year in 2021. Mm. Like, I have vivid memories of you making massive carries all over the pitch, you know, off line out, set play, just in open play, just punching holes through opposition. So, I don't know, maybe also in hindsight, there was a certain kind of joy in the freedom of it, because you really made an impact on those games as well.
Yeah, I suppose, and maybe my, you know, being young and inexperienced, there's a great novelty in just being like, right, I'll get the ball and I'll go for it. And it's a very simple game when you think about it like that, I guess. So I suppose that, that rawness nearly worked in my advantage in some ways, that I didn't overthink too many scenarios. I was like, right, my job is I get the ball and I make as much gain line as I can. And I think probably now I've more appreciation for space. And if I can draw in two people and then give a tips for us to get to width and make more gain line, that might be more advantageous. But yeah, no, it was, I really enjoyed it. Like I really enjoyed that year of rugby in 2020. And I was very fortunate to play with the players I did at that time as well.
A tough period followed, missing out in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then Six Nations last year just looked really difficult for the team, really miserable. A first wooden spoon for Ireland in 20 years, give or take. I vividly remember being in the TV studios and we would go over to Nicola Friday being interviewed, and she's borderline in tears, you know, after games, and borderline like apologising to the Irish public. And I can remember being on TV the final night when Seni Naupu was on, and Jenny Murphy and Fiona Hayes in the TV studio, and they were almost all in tears as well at just everything. You know, Seni was apologising for not getting the team to the World Cup, and we should have done more for the younger players.
Oh God,
and,
no,
you know,
that wasn't
all of that kind of stuff. It's probably hard to explain to people who weren't following it week to week just how emotionally difficult it must have been, because it certainly looked that way, you know, just in and around the camp.
Just around the 23 Six Nations, you mean?
Yeah, and on the back of the World Cup as well, it just looked like, oh God, this, you know, it looked like everybody was really struggling.
Like not qualifying for that World Cup, I suppose. I was, you know, very new into the team, but it meant obviously as much to me as it did all those other girls that had been there before. And I vividly remember that period of time and coming home and not knowing who I was, what I was about. You know, your whole purpose is taken from you in a single tournament. And I think we were just shocked, and it was dreadful, but it was definitely a learning curve. And I think it was probably really just disappointing how then the following 2 years transpired. And I suppose that accumulated to the 23 Six Nations. And I don't know if many people have an appreciation of what it was actually like in that Six Nations for us. You know, things weren't perfect, definitely. And it was really difficult. And I think we really had to look after each other as players. But, you know, I know I was on the phone to my mum a lot, and you know, I was checking in with my boyfriend, and you really needed your people around you during that time, because you know, the media wasn't pretty, and it was just like, oh, what's coming next? And you know, questions about you know, our, like, you know, being an embarrassment to the country and stuff. And that's really tough as players to take, because it's absolutely not. If you could look at our personal journeys and, you know, what we sacrifice, and we do it happily, obviously, to play for Ireland. That was just a really tough time of being questioned about, like, you know, and the professional contracts we're in and stuff like that. It was really difficult for a lot of players. But the new setup and, you know, having those wins in WXV and everything, it's a completely different environment, completely different team. Scott's involvement is all the difference in terms of his experience with a winning Red Roses side for over the last number of years, and the professionalism, and, you know, as I have mentioned a few times, like the rugby IQ is a huge one, and how we're being coached and how we want our systems to look. And a huge part of us, for us, is our training ID. Like, we compete in everything we do, so every session we do, it's a competition-based format in every sense. If it's a silly game at the start of training to get us going, and firing shots is another big thing. We want to take our opportunities in various aspects of the game. So our training ID, our culture, everything has been built from the ground up, because I suppose we were probably at our lowest ebb there. So look, it's definitely been the happiest I've felt in this setup, and probably the greatest sense of belonging I've felt in the last 2 years, for me anyway.
Okay, well, that's great to hear, because I did see as well, so you're referring there to Scott Beman, the new coach who's come in.
Yeah.
And then I saw as well a slightly clunky title, but I'm sure very important, High Performance Culture and Leadership Lead. Sean Ryan is his name. So he,
yeah.
I was reading, was appointed to the role on the back of a culture and leadership review in the wake of last year's Six Nations. So again, getting past all the corporate language, that suggests that you guys felt we need to address our culture. We need someone to come in and help, that things are not the way they should be, is what I read into that.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. Things were not the way they should be. And Sean Ryan is our bread and butter now at this stage. He was such an important man in turning that around for us. And I'd say we're still in the, like, our culture and everything, we turned that around. But I suppose the real test is when we can perform in a Six Nations, because obviously that's a completely different beast in comparison to WXV3.
Yeah.
But yeah, the stuff he's implemented, like squad buddies and stuff like that, where you have a buddy on the team that's appointed to you. And if they're your direct competition, if they're not, if they're someone you don't know that well, if they're an 18-year-old who's just been brought into their squad, they're your person, and you figure out why they're there, what makes them tick, what they're finding difficult in camp, what they love. Like, you take a vested interest in each other, so you have that bond to go on and play. Like, you have that bond then in the coming competition. He does a lot of work with us around performance mindset and, you know, getting through high pressure moments and embracing pressure and being high performance athletes in different scenarios. So it's been really incremental to how we operate as a unit.
Who's your buddy?
Emer Carey.
Okay. We happy with that?
Oh yeah, she's great. We kind of, it's great if you have someone who's kind of on the same wavelength of you, in terms of, you know, the two of us had like blankets and teddy bears in the room. We were very much chill at night time, candles lighting, that kind of vibe. And, you know, Emer's great as well. Like, she's a medical student and she's doing this. I don't know how she does everything she does. And so, yeah, no, it's been great.
Something I wanted to ask, well, any of you guys really, so it's great to have you on to talk to you like this, that I'd wondered over the last couple of years is, you know, without wanting to kind of embrace a defeatist attitude, there is just a reality with England. They're an exceptional team, best team in the world. They're scary. And everyone who plays them in the Six Nations, France to a lesser extent, but everyone who plays them, like, there's a degree of damage limitation about those games. And I'm wondering how you approach it when every instinct in your body is to say, of course we can win every game, but then the writing's on the wall very early. It must be incredibly difficult to keep going as a team when they're really motoring. And they don't tend to be a team that let up either. They like to put scores on teams. So what's it like playing England at the moment?
I was injured for the last Six Nations. That game in the last Six Nations. So I missed it. But, you know, we really came out better than they expected, and it was pure desire. And you know there was speculation about how high the score would be against us, and you know, we lost, but it was nothing near the level of what people expected. And I think the fight of what we put in with the current situation that we had in that Six Nations was far beyond anything we had done before that or the prep we had done. So how girls turned up on that day and the character that they showed, and, you know, how resilient they were, even when they were scoring tries, like, we had them rattled for a good bit in that first half. You know, they weren't expecting it. Obviously, you know, they're an incredible setup, and, you know, they've done so well in the past because they're so consistently good. So, you know, it's great having Scott in to possibly bring a bit of that into our setup around what they have done to be so successful. But yeah, like we actually talked about it in our performance meetings. Like, you know, we're very open and honest with each other about, like, is there a part of us that can be reserved in those moments? And, you know, you can't change history. So, like, the history is a reality as well. So, you know, we named it and we were like, yeah, maybe. And Sean talked us through and how we can get through those kind of moments where self-belief might Peter. And again, it's another point of how important Sean Ryan is for us and how he fosters our culture and our self-belief. And so we can have all these tools in our toolbox when we go out to play these teams and hopefully come out the better at some stage.
I see for the upcoming squad, there are five players who've been on the Seven Series for Ireland this season, the likes of Bavin Parsons and Eve Higgins and Aveen Riley. And that's always a difficult one. Like it's, you know, women's sport is different to men's. Like the men's team don't have to deal with this dynamic. I've heard other players who've been in the camp previously and now pundits, and they are saying, look, the reality is it's really difficult. You have a bunch of players who play and then the Sevens arrive back and they go into the team, and it's difficult for morale to make that work. So is that something, Dorothy, that you guys have discussed openly, or is that still just one of those tricky dynamics in a team that's hard to square away and discuss too openly?
I would probably consider that a dynamic of the past at this stage. Like if you look at Bavin, Aveen, and Eve, like they were all born in the 15s game. You know, Bavin is the youngest cap player for Ireland. Aveen's dad has been training her to be a scrum half her whole life. They're obviously very talented sevens players as well. And like the fact that they are the type of hybrid athlete that can win a gold medal in Perth and can qualify for Olympics, good on them. Like that is fantastic. Yeah. I'm a back row, second row. That's not going to be my gig, and that's fine. But if they can do that and be successful, that's excellent. And we want them back. They're really good players. And the kind of culture that we've created is that the team is more than you as an individual. Like the team is what we were all trying to drive on. So if that means we've got Bavin Parsons on the wing to score three tries, let's have her. Like, you know, it's I think the whole narrative around the sevens, 15s definitely needs to change, because I think it's asked a lot, and we're prepped for it in media that they're going to ask this question again. And it's like, oh, okay, here we go again. But like, we're kind of over that question in a way, because we're as one now, and we want them to go on and kick on and do really well in the Olympics. And they want us to qualify for a World Cup. And then you have the hybrid girls who, you know, want to do both, and they manage it in the best way that they can. So we're all delighted to have them back. It's great to have them back in training and to bring that extra competition. And, you know, they perform in high pressure moments in the sevens, and they've been successful. So they're bringing that winning habit back to us as well.
The women's game is obviously changing so much at the moment. Professionalism has come in. Mm. We saw the improvement in Wales. It was very dramatic last year. My sense or my understanding, and it could be outdated at this stage, Dorothy, but my sense last year is that there were obviously quite a few players over in England and doing very well, quite a few players full-time at the High Performance Centre, and then maybe another smattering in Ireland, not full-time, but very much trying to be part of the squad and part of the squad. Is that still largely how it is?
Where
are you in that?
Yeah, I'm contracted. We have three groups. We have our Prem girls, we have our contracted, and we have our non-contracted. So there's actually not a large number of us contracted. You know, a lot of the girls have careers and professions before this was an option. So it's a life choice as well. You know, sometimes it's not an option. And if you're in college and if you are presented with the opportunity, it's obviously, you know, it suited me in terms of where I am. I'm in my final year of college, and I was professional with the sevens for 4 years, but, you know, obviously I was delighted to get back into that professional setup, and I've reaped the reward of that. But a huge thing for us as well with our culture is keeping connected while we're not together, because obviously we work in these three different subgroups. So, you know, our management have worked really hard to keep us ticking over in the off season, and have calls and have different challenges and updates so that everyone knows what's going on and no one's kept in the dark. And a big thing was remembering when we aren't in camp, what we're trying to do the next time we get together. So it was like, okay, WXV has happened, but what's the next job? And how do we foster this competitiveness in us over the next few months that we aren't together to be ready to hit the ground running when we get into camp? So there was a huge emphasis on that as well.
Okay, very good. France, March 23rd, away. Then Italy at the RDS. Then Wales at Musgrave Park. England at Twickenham, which will be an amazing occasion. And Scotland at Ravenhill. So I guess, I mean, it's never easy to say the least, but having Italy, Wales, Scotland at home makes those more winnable, you would say. And I saw Scott said they want, you know, three games, win three games is the target. That would qualify for the World Cup next year in England. That's the ambition for 2024. So that's what you guys are looking at. That's the kind of target within the camp.
That's the goal. Yeah. Home advantage is obviously huge. I think I was said earlier that, you know, 23 obviously wasn't an ideal Six Nation period for us, but you always remember the little girls that came up to you after, and, you know, they didn't care if you'd been hammered by however many points or how low you felt in that moment, or, you know, they just wanted your signature, wanted you to take a be real, or wanted you to sign this or sign that. And, you know, it was so, it meant so much in those moments to realize that actually this is much bigger than us and our current results. It's about, you know, inspiring the next generation of girls to play rugby, and to see us out there doing it in itself is huge for them. So having that home advantage means so much to see the next generation of Irish women's rugby players, and obviously family as well. You know, having your parents there, and for me, my mum and my gran are two huge figures in my life. And my gran probably won't travel overseas now, she's getting a bit older, but she'll always make her way dressed fully in green to the home games. And that means a lot to me. And I know a lot of the girls are in a similar boat. So, yeah, it's huge. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. What would you... sorry, this sounds like a classic trying to get you in trouble. I'm not. I'm just curious. The Irish soccer team have a great thing going at Tallaght Stadium. And they really made it their home. I can see the appeal of going RDS and Ravenhill and Musgrave Park and taking it around the country. As a player, are you into that? Or would you like the idea of same stadium, let's make somewhere our home?
I think because so many of our players are from so many different places, you literally have an equal spread of players.
Right.
That it's important that we hit all those different locations, that we, you know, hit Ulster for our Ulster girls and Connacht for, you know, that Western support. And obviously I love going down to Musgrave because, you know, that's my Munster route, and it's where most of my family can travel to. So I do think it's important that it's dotted around the country.
Okay. We've kept you more than long enough. Dorothy with us. She's... well, we think she should get first class flights for life. She's one of our early newest ambassadors, and they are very much supporting the team throughout the upcoming Six Nations campaign. Listen, great to catch up. It's lovely to hear that there's kind of a sense of enthusiasm again and a fresh start.
Yeah.
So very best to look for the Six Nations, Dorothy. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Dorothy Wall there.
Rugby on Off the Ball.